because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." This is the word of God. Thanks
be to God.
Well, we are very blessed this morning to have Carl with us to share the gospel, to share about his ministry. He is indeed a servant of the Lord working out in the fields, and we're just here to hear him.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, everybody, for having me here today. You know, of course, I can't be too surprised by some of the scripture because Pastor asked me which scripture to use, and I told him about Matthew 9, which I had included in my message. But actually, John 4 actually is a really touching passage in our ministry as well, because probably 10 years ago, a friend of mine was like, "Carl, we ought to go to the park and hand out bottles of water and tell people about Jesus from the woman at the well." And of course, I was scared to death to go do that, so I never did do that with him. But later, when we did start the ministry, we go and we hand people bottles of water, and you hand them a bottle of water, say, "Here, but wait, before you drink it, there's a warning." And they're like, "What? Yeah, when you drink this, you're going to get thirsty again." And so you can then springboard from there if you read the rest of John 4 that we didn't cover this morning, how Jesus talks with the woman and, you know, leads her to himself through that. So when you think of evangelism, you know, probably you get a, you know, ache in your stomach, like, "I don't want to do that." And there's a fear involved. And if you look at our website, our YouTube channel, and you see myself and some others, and we're standing on a box in front of the Dallas Cowboys Stadium or in front of the Texas Rangers, and you say, "Well, I couldn't do that. I don't want to do that." And so sometimes you may think that's evangelism. On the other side, you might say, "Well, I'm just going to invite my friend to church, and a pastor can tell them about Jesus." And what I say is it's everything in between there. But really, evangelism is declaring the gospel to somebody. So, you know, one of the things we need to think about is who is responsible for doing that. You know, for me, I mean, I grew up in the church, but I never understood the gospel till I was 25, 26 years old. And so, I mean, I basically stopped going because it's like, well, what's the point of going? Because I didn't understand it. But what I'd like to do is read to you a letter. I found this on the internet. I don't think it's actually a true letter. I think it's just a, you know, it's just a story. And then we're going to turn to Romans 10. So if you want to go there in your Bible while I read this. So it says, "One day a woman named Louise fell asleep in her bed and dreamed a very fitful dream. She dreamed that someone in hell wrote a letter to her, and it was to be delivered to her by a messenger. The messenger passed between the lakes of burning fire and brimstone that occupies hell and found his way to the door that would lead him to the outside world. Louise dreamed that the messenger walked to her house, came inside, and gently but firmly woke Louise. He gave her the message, saying only that a friend had written it to her from hell. Louise, in her dream, with trembling hands, took the letter and read, 'My friend, I stand in judgment now and feel that you're to blame somehow. Never did you point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but never did you tell the story. My knowledge then was very dim. You could have led me safe to him. Though we lived together on the earth, you never told me of the second birth. And now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention him. You taught me many things, that's true. I called you friend and trusted you. But I learn now that it's too late. You could have kept me from this fate. We walked by day and talked by night, and yet you showed me not the light. You let me live and love and die. You knew I'd never live on high. Yes, I called you friend in life and trusted you through joy and strife. And yet, on coming to the end, I cannot now call you my friend. And it's signed, Marcia. After reading the letter, Luis awoke. The dream was still so real in her mind, and sweat dropped from her body in pools. She swore she could still smell the acrid smell of brimstone and smoke from her room. As she contemplated the meaning of the dream, she realized that as a Christian, she had failed in her duty to go out to all the world and preach the gospel. As she thought of that, she promised herself that the next day she would call Marcia and invite her to church with her. The next morning, she called Marcia, and this was the conversation. "Hello, Bill, is Marcia there? Luis, you don't know?" "No, Bill, what was that?" "Marcia was killed last night in a car accident. I thought you knew." So you see, the thing is, we never know, you know, when the end of our life will come or when the end of someone else's life will come. And so that's why it's important to share the message with them. And as the story goes there, you know, just seeing someone's life and seeing that you get up and you go to church in the morning, you know, or that you do good deeds and, you know, help someone change a tire or mow their lawn, that's not the proclamation of the gospel. In Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 9, it says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now, starting verse 14, this is, I think, the key thing we need to hear. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have not never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? So it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed that he has heard from us?" So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So you see, it's coming through a proclamation of the gospel by hearing the message, you know, that Jesus died for the sins of the world, that those that repent and put their trust in him will receive eternal life. So in Matthew 9:38, it says to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll raise up laborers, right? And your pastor labors and other people, you know, labor for the gospel. But the real thing to see here is that those laborers are you. We'll get to in a minute, you know, the command of Christ. But if we pray that God will send us, then look at how many more laborers there are, rather than just pastor laboring here in the community, you know, then everybody is involved. And so it starts with prayer. And so in our ministry, we've adopted a slogan called Pray, Learn, Go. And the pray part really came from an initial assessment of a SWOT analysis, that we really needed to be prayerful about everything that we did. And having people pray for us as we went out, and we do a lot of outreaches, and we do a lot of things. And if we don't cover those things in prayer, then Satan gets whatever foothold he can. And so we started having prayer meetings twice a month just to pray over our ministry. And then a couple of years ago, we went and we participated in the National Day of Prayer. And when the National Day of Prayer was ending, we said, well, why do we only do this one time per year when, you know, we need to be praying for our nation all year long? And I didn't have an answer, so we just kind of on the spur of the moment, we just said, well, let's come back the first Thursday of every month. And so for about 2.5 years now in Carrollton and at my friend's office in Dallas, we've been getting together at noon every first Thursday of every month. You know, and on National Day of Prayer Day, there's 75 people there, but on every other Thursday, there's some of us are there and we're praying for our nation. And in our city, we've seen, you know, answered prayers. We've seen a city councilman a strong Christian that was elected to city council. And I've talked recently with his campaign manager, and he told me, he's like, Carl, there's no way he should have been elected. Through the whole process of everything that happened, he defeated an incumbent, he's a totally unknown. And so it's only through prayer and through, you know, through God intervening that happens. But also through prayer, we can pray for the community. You know, you can do a prayer walk, and you could go after church, or you could go, you know, whenever you want to. But if you're, you know, I mean, exercise is good anyways. And so you can walk, and as you walk through your community, you know, pray for the harvest. Pray for the hearts of those that you're, you know, as you're passing their house. Pray that they would be receptive to the gospel. And then the other area where we involve prayer in our ministry is, as I mentioned, in these prayer meetings. What we'll also do is we'll go door to door, talk to the people individually, and our door to door ministry, we really do like three things. We knock on the door, we say we're here for three reasons. The first is to collect food that we're going to give out in the community. I noticed you have a food pantry here, and so it actually becomes a way to stock the food pantry. You know, our ministry is not in the business of you know, having a food pantry, but we kind of partner with a number of food pantries in the community. But if you have a food pantry right here, you could go, you know, down the street, collect the food, and then you make it available to others. But then we say the second reason why we're here is we're having a prayer meeting back at church. And so that's a way people could be involved. Even if you're not the one out knocking on the door, you could be at the prayer meeting and you could pray over these prayer requests, you know, just as we did here in the service. But therefore, praying with the community and engaging with them. And then third thing that we do is we're there to intentionally share the gospel with them. We do it by using a survey. But if you'll come to our seminar at 1 o'clock, I'll show you more about how to have that conversation with them. So if we turn over to Acts chapter 1, there's really two things I want you to see from this particular scripture. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So if you really knew me, you would probably realize I'm one of the most shy people that there is. I'm really not big on public speaking. And to think that, you know, yes, I've, you know, stood on a box outside of the Super Bowl, the World Series, the NBA Finals, you know, and preached the gospel in front of thousands of people, you'd say, well, how do you do that? You know, the same terror comes over you just by walking up to someone and handing them a gospel tract. But the only way you can overcome it is because it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon you. So when you repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ to save you, Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you, and He gives you the power to share God's message with other people. And so, I mean, that's a great comfort, because if you had to do that on your own power, you know, we're all very weak. You know, I've stood at times in the park and just read the Bible out loud, and people will come by and say, well, why don't you say your own words? I'm like, I don't have any words. I'm reading you from the Bible, giving you God's words. And so the Holy Spirit empowers us with things to say. And as we have conversations with people, it's not uncommon to quote scriptures that we've never memorized, because God is revealing those things to us and speaking through us. The second thing to see in this verse is where we are supposed to tell people about Jesus. It says, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so Jerusalem was where they were. So that's Lytle, Texas for you. That's where you are. So anywhere here is your Jerusalem. And so anyone you come in contact with here is someone to be a witness to Jesus Christ about. Then Judea was the surrounding area, so that might be the greater San Antonio metroplex, or, you know, the whole region of South Texas, or, you know, wherever you want to define that boundary. But it's, you know, it's basically what you see here is ever increasing areas. And then Samaria was where the enemy lived. So, you know, whether you take it as, you know, Texas versus Texas A&M, or, you know, whatever kind of concept you want to look at. You know, it's the idea is the message of salvation is available to everybody, you know, whether you personally like them or not. And then to the ends of the earth. And you'll see in the bulletin, there's a little thing that has a mission statement of our ministry. And while our ministry is focused on North Texas, we actually reach the gospel worldwide every month through our track ministry. And we send tracks out all over North America. We have a missionary in Africa we send tracks to regularly. And people have taken, we've taken tracks, sent them to them. They've taken them down to Central America, to Europe, to Asia. And so even though we're just a really small ministry, we're able to reach to the ends of the earth through that. So one of the things you can do to share the gospel effectively with people is to use gospel tracts. And so in our ministry, we make a number of tracts and we print them on business cards. And really every tract, it has some story behind it of you know, where the idea came from. So like this one, it says life insurance versus life assurance. And this really goes over probably better if you ask somebody, you know, like you're at the store or something, and the, you know, oh, do you have good benefits here with your employer? And I'll say, do they give you life assurance? Now most people, when you say that, they hear insurance, not assurance. And then this card explains the difference. You see, your life insurance policy will benefit your family after you're gone. But your life assurance policy, you know, benefits you as the dead person. And so just something simple like this gets their attention, and it has all of those words are on this card. So even if you just give it to them, you know, they'll see that. We have this one that goes back to John 4, and we've given out thousands of these on college campuses. We'll bring coolers of water, and we'll give out the water, because we started going to college, and what the college told us is we'll give you a table, and you can sit behind the table, and anyone that comes over to talk to you, you can talk to them. So we sat there for 2 hours and nobody came over to us. And we're like, well, this isn't very good. You know, it's like, we're sitting here, we're ready to share this message. So we said, well, we needed some bait. So we went to Kinko's, got a 5-foot sign that said free water on it, brought some water, and we sat behind the table, and the fish came swimming right up to the boat. Because college students love free anything. And now that college, I mean, they give us a lot of leeway. They don't care if we sit behind the table and we just kind of go there. We went there last week and handed out, I think, 400 bottles of water and probably another 200-300 tracts and Bibles and books. But that's why we made this track, you know, because as I said, we'd give them, you know, we would give them a bottle of water and say that there's a warning. You know, when you drink this water, you're going to get thirsty again. And so you say that enough times, then we print it on a track. But this has, I don't know if you can see it from there, has a water fountain, so you can see that. And so each track, you know, just makes an interesting way to present the gospel to people. Now, a lot of people think that they're going to go to heaven because they're good. And so there's a track that's in the public domain called Are You a Good Person? It's a comic book, and we took the images from that and made just a business card out of it. So the idea is you're supposed to put your finger on here, and this can be really fun to give to the kids, go to the playground, or you know, give it to even adults. They'll hold it like this, and you say, well, did it change color? They're like, no. You're like, well, maybe you didn't press it hard enough, and they'll be like going like this, and you make sure they count the right amount. But then you can explain to them that God's standard of goodness is absolute perfection. And when we look at His standard, which is in the Ten Commandments, and we have the Ten Commandments on this card, and so actually sometimes you can use the cards together. You know, are you ready? This has got a hearse on it. You know, are you ready for the last ride you'll ever take? Because when you take that ride, you're going to be judged by God's standard, the Ten Commandments. And so these tracts can be used by what my friend calls, you know, tract and run, where I just say, here, did you get one of these? And you give it to them and you run off. Or you can use it to strike up a conversation with them. And if that conversation scares you, then stick around for lunch and I'll show you how to make it very easy. You won't even have to remember anything. So one of the things that I like to do as I visit places is do a little research on where I am. And so I looked up Lytle on the internet. On the city website, it says there's 2,800 people that live here. Now in our ministry, we have a gospel track club, and we send you 30 tracks a month for free. So you get an envelope in the mail, has 30 gospel tracks in it. And so if we sent 93 envelopes down to Lytle, you'd have enough tracks to give one to every person in this city. And so if just 10 people in the church here were to enroll in our track club, in 9 months we would send you enough tracks to reach this entire city with the gospel. The other way you could look at it is, according to Wikipedia, there's 811 households. So if as a church you were to go to 16 of those households per week, in just under a year, you could knock on every door and share the gospel with every household in this city. And so I just encourage you, to take those steps and go and share the gospel. The last scripture I'd like to share with you is Jesus's Great Commission in Matthew 28. He says, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So in our ministry, we've adopted the slogan, "As you go," right? And you can look at it and say, "Well, Carl, I've got, my kids are in this activity and that activity. I don't have, all weekend to go off and do some, outreach." And some of these things do take a lot of time. But for those of you that God is calling you to go and do those types of outreaches, then I would encourage you to go. And I know Linda organizes some things around in the area, and I would encourage you to participate. But if you really look at what he says in verse number 19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples." Now, if you look at the language that's used here, you could literally say, "As you are going," or "As you go, make disciples." So everybody is constantly going someplace. It's not whether we go to Africa or we go to India or we go, some specific place. The fact that we're going is implicit in what Jesus is saying. And therefore the command here is actually to make. Now in order to make a disciple, you first have to introduce them to Jesus Christ. And so while you could say, yeah, it's going to take 2-3 hours to go out to the college and do one of these things, it doesn't take any extra time when you're standing in line at Walmart to hand one to the person next to you and say, "Did you get one of these?" Or when you pay your bill at Starbucks and say, "Here's a gospel tract for you." And so when you incorporate it into your life as you go, it takes no extra time, and you're telling other people the good news as you go. And so really that's my encouragement to you. If you feel called and led and you want to join an outreach and go do something, then go. But otherwise, the command to go and make disciples is for all of us. It's not just for pastors, it's not just for me, it's for everybody. And I think gospel tracts, you'll find they're very easy to hand out. Craig Boswell is my ministry partner at Bazugan. And, one of the things he's pointed out is really driven home is that you get this trembling feeling like if I try and give this to someone, they're going to, get upset or angry or something like that. But 99.9% of the time when you hand a tract to somebody, the response is thank you. So thank you for having me. I hope some of these things are encouraging as you go tell others about Christ. Thanks.